Amen. Thank you, Brother Justin. Thank you, church, for the song service. You will turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. Do I need to come down there? We are starting our fourth church tonight, which will finish out chapter 2. And this is going to be a longer study because there's more to teach in it. This church will teach us a lot. It'll add to what we learned from Ephesus, and it'll learn what we learned from Smyrna, what we learned from Pergamos, and it is an extension, actually an extension of Pergamos. The Lord just put these in the order that they had to be in order to teach us what he wanted to teach us. So he says in verse 18, and to the angel of the church of Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto the flaming fire, his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants, and to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins of the hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your work. But unto you I say, and unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which not and have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put you, give me, none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my words unto the end, to him I will give power unto the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken into sheaves, excuse me, as I have received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says in the churches. So a lot here. There's a lot to cover, a lot to think about. And we're going to cover it all because every bit of this is greatly important to us today. So the church, the Lord elected them fourth in line of the seven churches for a purpose that he only knows why. However, this church follows Pergamos. Makes a lot of sense once we study it. We've seen what went on with Pergamos. And this one's a little bit worse. to the beginning of what we call Catholicism. The church at Smyrna showed the horrible persecutions and martyrs they did and would continue through the church of Satan. Let us not forget the book of Revelations is a book of Jesus Christ, which the one speaking to John to write these things is Jesus himself. John went to heaven. He was called up in the Spirit. If you go to Revelation 4, and Jesus spoke to him, showing them these things. All the whole book of Revelation, Jesus showed it to him. And chapter 4, verse 1, he says, after this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was that as it were of a trumpet talking to me, which saith, come up thither, and I will show thee the things that must be hereafter. What a blessing. You know, the Lord opened the heavens several times, a few times. I'm not going to say several, a few times. He did with Stephen. He did at other times. He does in the tribulation period. The Lord's opened heaven a few times to see the heaven and the kingdom of God, not to everybody, but certain people. But in the tribulation period, he'll open the heavens to show them who's doing these things. But what a blessing it was for John to be called out of the body by spirit up into the kingdom of God and to stand before Jesus and Jesus show him these things. It must have been, and then come back. It must have been just a total blessing. God is so wonderful, isn't he? If we go to Revelation 1 and verses 1 and 2, we see these words, a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants these things which must come shortly to pass. And he sent and signified by it by his angels unto his servant John, who beareth record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So here in the church of Thyatira, it is said to have been a smaller church than the other ones, other than the but more recognized for their good than the others were. When we see what God recognizes of them, we'll get into it all, we see more, don't we? If you remember when we went through it, he says on verse 13, chapter 2, he says, I know thy works, and where thou, I'm sorry, that's wrong church. Let me go back down here. I know thy works, verse 19. I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy love, charity, and thy service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works to be more than the last. So he talks a little bit more about it. Brother E.G. Cook said of this church, the Pergamos churches might be considered the Thyatira Catholic Church in embryo. Brother Cook went on to say about this church, we might be very well consider that the Thyatira Church as a child or an offspring of the union of the Pergamos Church and the political world. So you see now how they kind of fit together. And the Lord said of this church, he says, I know thy works, thy charity, thy service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last is more than the first. We'll get into all that in just a little bit. Revelation 2:19. We do not ever need to forget that these churches were very wonderful churches. Most of them started by the Apostle Paul or other apostles, but all of them from the seed of Jerusalem. But as many churches throughout history, and even churches today, they have allowed evil into their churches, causing the Lord to remove their candlestick. For example, we don't know, except for Smyrna, we don't know if Ephesus ever repented, do we? It doesn't say it. And we know that Pergamos had a lot going on, don't we? And we know that Thyatira has a lot going on. We just read about it. The Lord doesn't allow these things. The Lord says if these things happen, he will remove the candlestick unless we repent. And we don't know if any of these churches ever repented. These letters are not only to teach us some history of the era churches, even Catholicism, but also how simple it is to become a church of error. It's so real simple. Just allow Satan into your church. Just allow the world into your church, and you will be a church of Satan before you know what's going on. It's still the church of Jesus Christ. When we look at history of Babylon doctrine, we see it transformed into Catholicism of today and of the past. In fact, the Lord compares the two in Revelation. We're going to get into that later too. And it starts with the worship of the original, mythical, and self-proclaimed Queen of Heaven and her son, Tammuz. She was wife of Nimrod, who was the son of Cush, who was the son of Ham, who sinned with his father Noah and was cursed as well as his descendants. This Babylonian church religion showed up in Catholicism, which the Lord called her in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 17, if you'll turn there real quickly, in Revelation 17 verse 4, the Lord said these words to 4 through 6, and the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness of her fornication. If that's not a description of the Catholic Church, I don't know what it is. And he goes on to verse 5 and says, upon her forehead was written the name Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. So he's comparing this great whore called Catholicism. And why is she a great whore? Because she sells out. She sold out to the world, and by compromising with them, she sold out to Satan, which he owns her. He goes on verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of saints. Well, that's Catholicism too, isn't it? They martyred millions of Christian saints. It's hard to believe. People today won't believe it, but it's true. Just search history, I'll tell you. They tell you, I gave you a document where they said they did it. And with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, and where I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. So we see all of this in the churches of Pergamum and Thyatira, whoring themselves out to the world, false religion, because they feared persecution, as happened in Church of Smyrna. People are afraid. Even Christians get scared. They're scared of persecution. Back when the shooting down in Texas happened at that church, and something Springs, I can't remember what it was, a lot of people wouldn't go to church because they're afraid somebody's going to shoot the church up. You can't be afraid of the world, folks. You can't allow the world to control you, because if they can, they will do it. That's how Catholic Church done it. And as we heard of the churches throughout history and see in some churches today, this is why God gave us so many warnings. And that's what these churches are. To us are warnings. Not only to the churches, but also to the pastors and to the elders of the church. So in Catholicism, we see so much of Babylonian doctrine, like mother-son worship, the Queen of Heaven and her son Tammuz, and also compared with Mary and Jesus, how they're worshiped together. Folks, Mary was not to be ever be worshiped. Ever. They said, well, she's the mother of God. She is not the mother of God. She's mother of the Son of Man, Jesus. God was not born. Jesus was born. So and Mary was never to be worshiped. You can't pray to her. She can't do anything for us. She can't do anything. She was just a woman that God used for the glorious act of birthing the Son of Man. So to worship Mary is a false worship. The celebration of Tammuz's birthday to Christmas. You wonder where Christmas comes from? That's where it comes from. Babylonian doctrine. The burning of the tea to celebrate the cross. Tammuz, the tea to the cross. All the royalty in both. And so much more. I hope I am not the only one who sees these things. And I know I'm not. You have to look to see things. You have to clear your mind out, and you have to see the Word of God and match it to what God's talking about in time. So let's go to our first point. That went more fast than I thought. So let's look at a little bit more about this church. First of all, we see the comparisons in almost all of these churches. The Ephesus and Thyatira both praised and both blamed for error. Remember, the Lord gave a lot of accolades to the church at Ephesus. And the Lord then told them that I have something against you. He tells this church here, he gives them more accolades than any other church so far. And he blamed them for error too, didn't he? Second, Ephesus was blamed for leaving their first love, but Thyatira was credited for their love. Just the opposite, wasn't they? Thyatira was credited. First thing the Lord talked about with Thyatira, he said, I know thy works and charity. So he says, I know your works, I know your love, I know the love that you have. But the church of Ephesus, he told them that they had left their first love. But Thyatira had more major issues than Pergamos, like false and Babylonian type teachings. Both Pergamos and Thyatira compromised. Not only were false religions of their day, but also to the world was allowed into their church. And both allowed themselves to be used by Satan to give birth to Catholicism and the Babylonian religion of our day, which comes through Catholicism. You know, people get upset with us because we don't celebrate Christmas. You know my feelings about it. When I came here, I changed my mind on it because of how it was actually taught to me. Brother Hyman never taught that to me. In fact, he celebrated it himself. But I learned it, I studied it, I looked at it, come to understand the significance behind the holiday itself, and it just isn't right. So, therefore, I quit getting involved in it. Now, my family still does, some of them still do, and that's fine, they can do what they want. But anyway, we see those things of our time today. So we see small minorities believing and compromising with these false religions. That's what's happened to a lot of churches today, is they have compromised. You cannot compromise, beloved. As I've been told, I don't go to a lot of churches. I go to a few churches for Bible conference. I guarantee you none of them are compromised. They all have strong, good pastors. But a lot of good Sovereign Grace Baptist churches have compromised. And one reason they compromised is over money. And the Lord warned us against that. He said the love of money is the root of all evil. Did he not? He said we don't do these for lucre. We don't do them for money. We don't do them for things of the world. We don't do them for recognition. We don't do them for more power and glory. We don't have any glory. We don't need none. But that's what happens when you do. You compromise and you let the world into your church. How many of these religious organizations call themselves Christian churches allow all the homosexuals to be part of their churches? I didn't say they couldn't come into a church. Everybody's welcome to come into a church. But not as membership. Not as part of it. Also, they support this transgenderism. They support racism. They support all kinds of different stuff in the world. It's all worldliness, beloved. Anything's not scripture, it's worldliness. And this is a compromise. This is allowing Satan in, because who controls the world? Satan does. So therefore, you align the world and you align Satan into your church, And as I taught before, at the church of Pergamos, where they gave a seat to Satan, and that was actually, it was actually a throne. He ruled it. He run that church. And he will run this church if he's allowed in. Churches cannot allow Satan to have any part of them, nor a seat, nor a throne into the churches. Brother M.L. Moses Jr. said, this church depicts the Middle Ages and the buildup of Catholicism. And he's right. It's going from Pergamos to Thyatira and right on into the year 311 when they actually, Constantine actually formed the church into the mega deal that it is today. So let's go to our second point, just a little bit about the church. The message from this church. This is real important to us that we understand the message of this church. So this is the message from Jesus Christ. There's no message greater than that of Jesus Christ, is there? We study the Word of God. This is our doctrine. This is our study. This is our life. This is where our mindset is. People say, well, our church don't believe in doctrine. Well, then you don't believe in the Bible because the Bible itself calls itself doctrine. Jesus Christ is the head of the churches and to the churches throughout time. He never stops. He says here, these seven churches, who's kind of in a, got four up here and three down here, and they're kind of like this, and he says, I'll walk in the midst of them. And he promised to never leave nor forsake us, did he? The church may leave Jesus, they may forsake Jesus, but Jesus will never forsake a church. He may remove the candlestick, which he has in many of them. So let's go back into and look at verse 18 of our chapter 2 of Revelation. And he says, unto the angel, that's the pastor, of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith who? The Son of God. This is the first time that he's actually recognized himself and called himself by his original name. And he says, this comes directly from Jesus, the Son of a living God. Now, why did he do that? Why this church? Why did he? Because this church had a false prophet in it. And they were believing this false prophet called Jezebel. And she was teaching this false prophecy. And she was lying to this church about what she called truth. And you know, the churches back then were humongous. So you wouldn't all probably at one place at one time. I'm not sure how they all worked, but I wasn't in that time. But you know how it is. People get together and they start teaching the things. Well, she was teaching different. While we know the book of Revelation is a revelation from Jesus Christ and a book of prophecy, here he makes his name known outside of an attribute itself. The reason he makes it so clear is because he says, because thou sufferest that woman, Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, verse 20 here, to teach and to seduce my servant to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, what does he mean by she's causing them to commit fornication? She's causing them to commit spiritual, biblical fornication. And we all know what fornication is. So when you commit spiritual and biblical fornication, you are allowing yourself to be whored out to the wrong doctrine. You're allowing yourself to be whored out to the doctrine of the world. And therefore, you're selling yourself as a whore would, and you're fornicating with the world. We are not the world. The Lord told us to come out from among them and be you separate. And we cannot be separate if we go out there and we connect to them. The worst thing we can, the Lord never told us to connect to the world. What did the Lord tell us? What did he tell us in the Great Commission? He said to go into all the world and preach to them. To preach the gospel. That's the only message they need. When Paul went to the church of Corinth and he said, I come to you with milk only because you can't handle anything else. The world can't handle anything but milk. And that's the milk of the gospel. Why would you preach anything to the world if they don't even know Jesus Christ is the Savior? Those that are fleshly or only understand fleshly things. They don't understand spiritual things because the Lord said they are spiritually discerned. So you going out and having a good time with them, I mean, I'm not saying don't ever have a friend that's lost, but always be careful with them. Satan can use anybody to get to you. How did Satan get to Adam? You remember that? You know, I truly am a believer, and this is just things I've heard over the years, and I do believe it. I don't believe that Adam would have ever failed to Satan. He's the stronger of the two, and I don't believe that he would have ever failed. So Satan went to Eve, the weaker vessel, and he convinced Eve, and then once Adam saw Eve had sinned, when he seen what she had done, she's the only one on the earth besides him. And we know how we are, men. We love our women. He loved his wife. Lord told us to love our wives as Christ loved the church. I don't mean we fall into sin with them, but he did. He eateth forbidden fruit. You see what I'm talking about? You can't give Satan an inch. Not even an inch. So he said that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce. The Lord himself said the words to teach, to seduce them, to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Jezebel is defined as a tyrant woman used as a synonym of a false teacher. She was a prophetess, supposed to be a woman prophet. And she's, you know, people get all up on this. Women, you know, are equal with men, and women can do anything men can. Well, that isn't true. We're fighting women, men, these sissy men joining these women's sports now, and the point that the women don't even want to play because they hit the volleyball so hard, it hurts them. Or they foul them in whatever, basketball or whatever, or they pole vault higher than them, they always beat them. They come in 150th in a men's sport, but you go to a women's sport, they come number one. I don't set the rules. People get on me like, you don't believe women can preach? No, I don't. Lord said women keep silence in the church. What does he mean? I don't set the rules. I just preach what God says. But here she is, being as a prophetess, prophet, teaching not truth, not things honoring unto the scriptures and the Lord, but lies, causing people to commit scriptural fornication. Spiritual fornication. With the world. So it does not matter who it is. whether it's the Pope or Jezebel or a modern-day minister or any other creature in creation, no one is above Jesus Christ. No one is above God. No one can change the Scripture. I heard Catholics discussion one day, and I heard them come out and say, these are whatever they are, bishops or whatever they are. I don't even know their order of line of command. I think the red cap funny bunnies are bishops, something like that. And said, if the Pope says it, it's truth. Can you imagine me getting up in this pulpit saying, well, welcome to our Bible conference. You understand this, whatever I say, whatever Brother Wilson says, or whatever Brother Henson says, or whatever anybody else says is truth over the Scriptures, I would hope you would fire me. Now, what they're going to preach is truth. I can verify that because I know how they preach and what they preach. But no man is above Jesus Christ. Not even the Pope himself. He is not Jesus Christ sitting in Rome. He's not the vector of Christ. He is not. And neither was this Jezebel, this woman prophetess, who led people astray. That's how people get astray. Jimmy Swagger was just a man, but people follow him like he's some kind of a god. Used to. And here he gets caught down there in New Orleans trying to hustle some hookers. You just watch them and they will fall. We're all men. All of us are men. We're simply sinners saved by grace. And we live every day by grace. We have to humble ourselves. God always wants us to understand that He is the only true doctrinal source. He is. I fight with people all the time who wants to teach that works is part of salvation when God said it is not. Why would God say it isn't if it is? If He said that believing in Jesus Christ wasn't salvation, we'd have to find another way to be saved, wouldn't we, folks? But that's not what He said, was it? No, He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt have eternal life. And anybody else that teaches otherwise is a Jezebel. This Jezebel is inserted here because she refers to herself as an oracle or a prophet of God. She refers to herself as a prophetess. Now, what's a prophet? We know what prophets are, don't we? Old Testament, full of them, wasn't they? Jesus was a prophet. God is. He tells us prophecy. Revelations is a book of prophecy. Nobody is that. God gave the apostles special talents. He don't give us today. He gave them the powers to heal people. But what did God never give any man? Can you name or think of one thing? I'm going to tell you the answer. One thing that God never put in the hands of any single solitary person. Salvation. God never told anyone to go out in the world and save sinners. He said, go out into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And those that believe, you baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then what's next? You teach them. You make disciples of them. The Lord told the apostles, you plant the seeds. You go back and you water those planted seeds. And then I'll save as many as I save. I'll give the increase. He never told them to give the increase, did he? But he did give them power to heal, didn't he? He gave them power to do other special things. But never to save a soul. No one's ever saved a single soul in this world except God. And Jesus is including God, because he is God. The Pope never saved a person, did he? He can't give eternal life to anyone. We can't either. But they think they can. They think they can pray people out of hell. They cannot. Once you're there, you're not leaving except to come up in judgment time before the great white throne. And then you're going to be put into your proper eternal place in whatever level of hell. I don't know how many levels they would be, but I do know there's more levels than one, because the hottest part is made for Satan and his angels. If there's a hottest part, then there must be a part that's not as hot, right? So this Jezebel, this prophetess, this Jezebel inserted herself and refers to herself as a prophet of God. She believes that she has, just like the Pope does, she believes she has infallible authority. If you don't think the Pope believes he has infallible authority, and Catholicism, and those as part of Catholicism, if you don't believe that they believe that the Pope has infallible authority, you just look it up. Or you go ask somebody. I'm not talking about just a Catholic, I'm talking about somebody that's dedicated Catholic. So she inserted herself as an infallible authority while denying the truth of the Word of God. So she's inserting herself, just like the Pope and just like some others do, as an infallible authority of the Word of God over what God says. Let me ask you this. If the book of the Bible is closed, Revelations has been finished for millenniums. Before the first century, before the year 100, the book of Revelations was closed. Toward there, year of 90 AD or something like that, it was finished. There's been nothing added to it. If it's been added to it, it's a lie. These lost scrolls, I don't care if Paul wrote half of them. I don't care if Peter wrote some of them. And I'm talking about the real Paul and the real Peter and the real John. It's not scripture. You know why? The scripture is 66 books. It's not these 14 extra books that Catholicism has. They don't belong there. And the lost scrolls doesn't belong. Belong there. I've heard people say, well, I like to read them to compound scripture. Why? Well, John may have actually wrote it. Paul may have actually wrote it. It doesn't matter. I mean, if they did, I know they're good writing, but they're not biblical. Only those who were inspired of God to write the scriptures wrote the scriptures. And they wrote exactly as the Holy Spirit inspired them. So while she considers herself a prophetess and infallible authority, while denying the truth of God, we see this a lot in our day, as we do in history. But none today is more misleading as that thing that sits on that throne in the Vatican and Rome. That people martyred in the most horrible way tens of millions of believers, real Christians, because they would not allow the Pope to rule their belief. Think about it. Recant, come over to us, and we will let you live. If you don't, you're going to die. And they happily gave their life for the Word of God and the truth. Okay. That gets us down to our next point, which will still be in verse 18. And we're going to look more at what the last part says. When these things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like a flaming fire and feet like fine brass. So that's where we will start off next week and getting further into it. I hope this was understandable to you. I hope it was interesting to you. And I hope you had a blessing from it, because I had a humongous blessing just studying it. I hate to stop once I get going. You ask Rebecca. He wants me to go do something, and I just hate to stop. So I stop for a while, do whatever she wants, and I go right back, and I start on it again. It's a blessing. I'm just telling you, it's a blessing to study. Anyway, have a good week.